Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. Well, we want to return to a discussion that you started over the weekend and we talked about yesterday here on the show. It has to do with new recommendations from the American College of Medical Genetics and Genomics saying your doctor should tell you if you're genetically predisposed to a certain illness or condition, whether you ask to know that information or not. Now, this got you talking. We got a lot of responses on Facebook. Catherine says, that would stress me out beyond belief. I'm dealing with similar issues right now, having fetal tests done for Down syndrome and cystic fibrosis because I'm in my second trimester. It's very difficult to think that your child could possibly have a condition that will make its life harder. I think it's worse to think of it for my child than for myself. But Victoria takes a different view. She says, I would step up to the bar to find out if I had something incurable, like Alzheimer's, in a heartbeat. I have a bucket list, and there's no time like the present. Well, yesterday we spoke with Art Kaplan, director of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center. Here's what he had to say.
When you take a test, someone has to ask you if you want to know the results, particularly if those results are not what you came for. So when I get tested, it might sound a little silly to say, well, tell me what you find, but everything can be found from non-paternity to certain diseases and disorders that we can't do much about except tell you that, you know, they're nasty and you've got a high risk.
Well, we want to continue this conversation today because there's another view, an argument not about why doctors should tell their patients this information, but why they must tell their patients this information. And that's why we turn to Dr. Robert Green. He's medical geneticist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, author of the new guidelines from the American College of Medical Genetics and Genomics. Dr. Green, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, it's great to have you here. And one of Art Kaplan's points yesterday was that doctors who glean this information from a battery of tests for 24 illnesses that do have a genetic component should share it. You say they must share it, and I'm interested in the differences of those views.
Well, that's right. I think that Art makes very good points, but we are entering a new age of genomic medicine. Right now, there's only a few thousand people in the world who, as patients, have ever gotten their whole exome or their whole genome sequenced. So all of those genes could be looked at. And what we're struggling with is what should be reported back to their doctors, not to the patients themselves, but to their doctors, once you've looked for the primary reason that you did sequencing. So let's say you go to the doctor with a heart problem or your child has a heart problem, and you get whole genome sequencing, so every gene in your body's been looked at. Should the laboratory ignore the rest of the things besides the heart genes? Because frankly, it's very trivial at this point in time bioinformatically to identify well-recognized mutations in several other genes, in several other conditions. So if by bad luck your family was carrying a cancer predisposition gene, this is an opportunity to learn about that and warn your family so that they can take action to try to avoid that. Now, our committee, our working group, which was about 12 or 14 experienced geneticists and laboratory directors, spent 14 months agonizing over these questions and coming up with an extremely short list of conditions, genes, and variants that we recommend that laboratories should report automatically when they return the result of whole genome sequencing. These are not late onset untreatable conditions like Huntington's disease or Alzheimer's disease. They are exclusively a limited list of things that we think doctors can do something about, that we think doctors can intervene and make a difference, and that we really think may actually save lives.
So you say then labs should report back to the physicians. Then there's step two, whether the physician discusses it with the patient. One of the other factors that Art Kaplan brought up, and I know that you're familiar with this, is that there just aren't enough trained genetic counselors out there, that in fact many primary care physicians aren't well-versed in the differences of probabilities, what it really means to have a genetic predisposition that is not a determinative gene, like it doesn't mean you'll get the disease like is so often the case with Huntington's. So what about that next step? The doctor has the information, 24 illnesses, as you say they should have. Kaplan says that the medical system isn't well-equipped to have these discussions always in a useful way with patients.
Well, he's exactly right, but this is absolutely nothing new to medicine. When you fall off your mountain bike, Todd, and you think you've broken a rib and you get a chest x-ray in the emergency room, and the radiologist looks at those ribs, the radiologist has a fiduciary duty to look at the rest of your chest x-ray. And if he or she sees a shadow on your lung that might be suggestive of cancer, then he or she must put that in the report to your primary care doctor. A primary care doctor may say, I don't know anything about cancer, but there's mechanisms for that in medicine. They can refer you to a specialist. They can get additional testing. This is a way for us to bring genomic information in line with the way we treat the rest of medical care information.
Sounds like we have a little bit of emergency medicine going on behind you. But then that asks the question about patients themselves. If the doctor does have information on these 24 illnesses that you talk about, what about action for the patient? Are patients equipped then to act on it? Are you concerned that if the doctor holds this information and says, oh, by the way, I'm going to go down a list of 17 illnesses, you've got A, B, C, X, Y, and Z, it might mean you get sick, but it might not. Can patients process this right now?
Well, I think they do every day. Really, when you think about it and you have blood in your stool or you have a cough that won't go away or you have an ugly-looking mole on your skin, the first step of this is that the doctor says, I'm concerned about the possibility that you have colon cancer or you have lung cancer or you have melanoma. So that's a probability right there. The other thing to remember is that these are very rare conditions. We estimate that probably less than 1 in 200 people who gets whole genome sequencing would actually discover that they had one of these variations. So it's our hope that we're going to save lives with this list and that we're going to bring genomic medicine more in line with the way the rest of medicine is practiced.
Well, the rest of medicine has moved largely from the X-ray and the MRI to the genomics array. And that is why Dr. Robert Green and the American College of Medical Genetics and Genomics have written this report. Dr. Green, thank you so much for joining us and helping continue the conversation on genomics here on The Takeaway.
My pleasure. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.